I wanted to let everyone know, and I'm just happy when I first heard the news about Haley, and we all get it touches all of our hearts, you know. There's a child hurt on a trampoline, and you know, all this stuff, and then the good news today that she's ready to go back. She wants to go back to recess, so we're glad she's come along that well, and the worries can be behind us. And you sure do age a few years when the kids hurt, don't you? I don't care. You just can't help it. So we're happy for you. And I want to thank all of you. I thank you as a church for your gifts and your tithing. We've just had all kinds of wonderful things. I'm just excited. I come out of all my deal and all, and then you've just been so faithful, and there's been special gifts and all kinds of things. I just want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you. I don't know who does what around here. I never know anything. We had an agreement a long time ago when we started this church. Others will keep the money, and I'll bring the messages. And we'll let you know if we're in trouble, okay? And so that's the way we work it. So I don't, you know, we have good this and the gifts and special offering. It's like, so God bless everybody, you know? God bless you all. I just want you to know it means a lot. And too many churches I know, and I've been there too, and all you ever hear them asking, give us, give us, give us. Well, I'm thanking you for doing it. I'm not asking for anything. I'm thanking you. And I don't have to ask you anything. And so God bless you all for it. I want to share this message. I titled it, you know, Doing What God Says Is Right. And the reason that this is coming this way is not only is we're going to talk about lines, dens, and the places we find ourselves. But in our present state of affairs, put it that way, just in our whole world system and in the system in this country, it's very possible, and I would say probable, that some of you are going to have to decide to take a stand on what God says is right versus what you're being told to do by government or World Health Organization or what, you know. It could be NATO, it could be anybody, you know, or United Nations. I'm not prophesying some doom and gloom. That's not my calling. I'm not that kind of. But it's just possible that in your personal walk, or maybe for all of us, you know, we may have to stand up and say, you know, I've got to do what God says is right according to His Word, and I can't yield to something that's violating Scripture. And so we never thought in this country, you know, in other places, we know that it's happened, but we never thought it would be this close to our front door. But, you know, it really is. It really is. I've been just looking and reading some things, and I'm not happy with the way, you know. And then this new thing, you might want to know about this, you know, and I can say this up here. There's a move to, you know, and this is from Schumer. He's kind of speaking out to say we should tax churches. And it's like, here we go again with that stuff. You want to tax churches. Quit spending and you won't need the money. That's me. And that goes for all of us in our homes, right? You know, quit spending and you won't be broke all the time. But anyway, that's for free. But nonetheless, I'm not out here railing against this person or that person, but he said that publicly, so I can quote that. And tax churches, I don't think if you tax churches in the synagogues and the mosques and everything else going to get involved in, it's like, yeah, go ahead and do that and put a noose around you. That's what I was thinking. Put a noose around your neck at the same time, you know, hang yourself. But anyway, is it possible? Possible, not probable, but possible. And I'm just saying to you, there's going to be a place you might have to just stand up and say, I'm not shooting at people. I'm not doing all that, anything like that. But I will not obey this decree or whatever. And we'll get into this. I will do what God says is right. We must obey God rather than men. So that's the lead in to this message. This is a heck of a long text. And so what I'm going to do is part of it will be up here. And then I'm going to, and I ask you to read all of Daniel chapter 6, because we just can't get all that in. It is a long chapter. So you're going to, we'll have up here verses 1 through 9, and I'm going to paraphrase the rest. Is that okay with everybody? But I want you to read it, and don't ever listen to something I'm paraphrasing, me or anyone else. You go read it for yourself. And make sure that all of us said it correctly. Because I'm only human, and I do my very best to bring God's Word as straight and honest and with all integrity, honestly, as I can. But I'm still a person, and everybody else is too. So don't ever take our word for it, no matter what our titles may be. You read it. So it pleased Darius, he's the big king, to appoint 120 satraps. And you say, what is a satrap? I don't know if we have those. And these are administrators. And so he appointed 120 administrators and he's over to rule throughout the kingdom. So he said, you know, these are like little governors, administrators. And he appointed 120 of them to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them. So he said, I'm going to appoint these guys. I'm going to put three people over them. And one of these was Daniel. And the satraps were made accountable to them so the king might not suffer loss of money and equipment. And, you know, so he's layering the system. He's got supervisors and then supervisors over supervisors and then a supervisor over the supervisors. And that's a smart thing to do. And he's saying, I'm not going to suffer loss here. So he's a pretty intelligent guy. So he points these people. Now, Daniel, though, so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, this may not hit you funny until you realize he's not a resident. He is a slave. He has been taken. He's a captive brought into this kingdom. So he's not a local boy. And he's not a citizen. He is owned by this empire. They were taken captive. And all of a sudden, here is a captive, a slave, if you want to put it that way. But God is so blessed with intelligence and with spiritual wisdom because of his relationship with the Lord that the king of this heathen country is about to appoint a non-citizen over his kingdom. Now that's doing something. And there's so much here that can be said, but I'll say, you know, wherever you work, whatever you're doing, whoever you have to associate with, you may feel like you're on the lowest rung of the ladder, you get passed over, nobody, you know, blah, 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 blah. But listen, God can put you in a place, he can elevate you, and just like this, he can do for you and with and in and through you what nobody else can do, what you yourself can't even do. And here's this guy that's not even a citizen of the country, and the king wants to set him over the whole blasted kingdom, and you can too. This is not something written in the Old Testament for us to read and say, wow, what a story. This is our lives. And this is what God can do with anybody who's yielded to him, regardless of your position. I mean, the system may be trying to put you down at work or wherever it is. You know, they may be trying to put you down, but God, if you honor him and do what Daniel was doing here, God can elevate you in spite of what everybody else is doing. Is everybody listening? He can do that. And the system, you know, for some of you, it could be in the medical profession. It can be anything. And they, whoever they are, they may be saying, you know, this is the best it's going to be. You're never going to walk like this again. You're never going to blah, blah, blah. Well, what about what God says? He has the final word. He's the final authority. God says it, you know, he's the great physician. What about what God says? He says, pray to me, trust me, your body is my temple. I don't care what they are saying. God can work miracles for you. And you need to let him. And just renounce some of that stuff. I've had people say to me, oh, they told me my arthritis and I'll never be able to. It's like, well, what did God tell you? You belong to Him. And I'm not knocking or running down anybody. I had one of the world-class surgeons. I'm serious. Army surgeons I've ever had. I couldn't have had a better. But I know that God guided the hands. And I know that God brought the healing and brought me out of there and put me so far ahead. I didn't do it. God did. You know, and I just thank Him for it. You know, yesterday I was out there using a shovel. It rained 3 inches at the house. I haven't had 3 inches in 2 years. And it rained 3 inches, and the ground was so hard packed it flushed and all the stuff. The water was running across the place out there. It looked like a little river. And I thought, go jump in it. This is great. Just swim in the river. Then I thought, yeah, you'll get hung up on something, drown, and they'll say, I can't believe that idiot did that to himself. So I didn't want to do that. But it all got up against the fence, and all this stuff is stacked against the front fence. So I was down there with a shovel and using that, and then I started feeling some things. I thought, he told me, work until you feel something and then quit. But I'm already back to doing that, and it's like, see, that's God. That's God. He said, don't sit around like an old man. Don't act 69. I'm seriously. You know, be young at heart and just get out and do it. So anyway, I'm rambling a little, but let me get back to this. This is good stuff. But friends, it doesn't matter what they all say. Here's a slave, here's a captive, and he's supposed to be just a nobody, and he's somebody. And others with him who honored the Lord. But when the king says he's wanting to do this, I'm going to put Daniel in charge of everybody. That guy's sharp. He's got the Lord in his heart. At this, administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel. Uh-oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. Now, they're going to find charges in his conduct of government affairs, but they couldn't do it. And they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. And that's exactly where some fingers of society are going to point at every one of us sooner or later. We can't get you for dishonesty. You're not cheating here. You're not cheating on your taxes. You're not doing all that. We can't find anything, but we can get you hung up with the Lord. We can find a way with the law of your God to get you, in violation of the system. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king, and look at this crud. This didn't happen back then. It's happening right now. You know, we have a name for it, but I can't say it in public. But the last word is kissers. So you can put whatever word in front of that you want. And so these kissers go to the king. They went as a group to the king and said, oh, King Darius, look at that. Live forever. Oh, man. Suck ups. You know, here you go. And the royal administrators and the prefects and advisors and the hoo-has and all that have all agreed that the king should issue an edict. See, they come up with this. Evil people, listen, man, they can come up with some stuff if you just watch the news. See if you know these folks. So they said, we've come together and we want you to issue an edict and enforce it that anyone, here's where they got him, look at this, that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except you, O king, shall be thrown in the lion's den. All they can come up, you know why? You realize who's behind it? It's not the satraps, it's not the administrators. This is the devil's work. This is how the devil tries to get to God's people. Quit focusing on what people are doing and rebuke the enemy behind it. Because that's who's at work here. It doesn't say it. It doesn't have to. The devil has been, he's been roaming the earth and he's out to get God's people. He can't get God, so what's the next best thing? I'll hurt his people. I'll get them to dishonor God. That's why you're tempted to do the things you're tempted to do. You know you shouldn't do, shouldn't say. That enemy wants you to do something that will embarrass God, dishonor him. Because he can't hurt the Lord. The Lord threw him out of heaven, cast him down to earth. So he tries to hurt God by using us. And we have to be on guard. That's why we're always on our guard with our armor on. And so they said, and if this happens and and you know, and they worship anybody except you, O king, they'll be thrown in the lion's den. So the king issued the decree, had no idea that they were up to something. And it can't be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians and so forth. They got him. Just that easy. They got him. They had a plan. Oh, they got him. Now I'm going to paraphrase the rest because you can't be trying to read all this. So when Daniel heard that they'd issued this decree, he went up to his upstairs room and he prayed towards Jerusalem like he'd always done. And three times a day he's gone on his knees. And what's he doing? He's thanking God. By the way, if you can't think of anything to pray for, just start thanking God. Thanking God that you came here this morning and you didn't have an accident. Thank you that you're alive and walking and you're able to worship the Lord. Thank God that you're breathing. Thank God he's still using you. You can just thank you, you know, clothes to wear, a vehicle to drive. You know, there's, if you can't think of anything else, just start thanking God. And now, by the way, look around and say, God, thank you for my friends in the church. Thank you for my family. Thank you that everybody, I'm just coming here and being myself. Everybody loves me. And we do. You know, this isn't a very strict church. We're not strict at all. If we were, I'd be gone, wouldn't I? You know, I couldn't make it. So, you know, and just begin to thank him. And that's what he was doing, and just like he'd always done. And they knew he would do it. So what did they do? They went as a group, and they found him. Look at this. Look how it's written. They found him. They didn't find him praying. They knew he'd be praying. You know, so, yeah, they found him praying, and they set him up. This is a setup all the way. And so they went to the king, and they told him about this, and the king didn't want to hurt him. And the king was greatly distressed, and he worked till sundown. He worked best he could. He couldn't find a way out of this because he couldn't go against his word. And so they said, remember, O king, you went and made this decree, so he's got to be thrown in the lion's den. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel in, threw him in the lion's den. And then the king said, Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. What was he saying? I can't help you. Nobody on this earth can help you now. It's out of my power. By my own word, I have condemned you to the lion's den. They were both set up. Did Daniel get mad and scream, this is not just? That's what we do as people. Did he shake his fist and say, unfair, cruel? Did he look at God and say, I've served you. I pray to you three times a day. I've given my whole life to you, and this is the way you treat me. That's what we have said to God, many of us. We get so mad at him. We're hurt at him. We're angry at him. There's people that won't even come to church, many churches, because they're so mad at God. And what did this guy do? Listen, we need to learn. We need to watch and look in Scripture. Look what Daniel did. He didn't shake his fist at God or the king or life and how cruel it is. Because he wasn't focused on himself. He was focused on God. That's the difference. It's just fantastic what happened. And the king said, may God rescue you because I can't. And the stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. King sealed it with his own ring. And so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. And the king went to his palace. And let's hold right there for a minute. And let's just look at some things. First of all, it pleased Darius, the king, to appoint these people and to put Daniel over them. Here's a captive. You know what the difference was in Daniel's life? And we have to do it too. He refused to think and act like a captive. He was acting and believing as a godly man, and he wouldn't let his status in society dictate to him his walk with God. And so many times we give in to all this crud and we take on an identity that somebody else or society or the church has placed on us instead of taking our identity, our self-worth, our self-esteem, who we are, what we're about. We instead of taking it from God, we let somebody else define us. And he refused to be a slave, a captive in his heart. I'm a free man. I'm God's free man. And I will be used of God no matter where I'm at. You see this? quit thinking like a captive and start thinking like a person, a child of the kingdom of the living God. Come on out of your bondage. Let it go. Turn it loose. Whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, don't be defined by the circumstances. You need to let it be turned around. Put your faith in Him. I mean, sell out to God and let Him define your circumstances through your walk with God. That's what's happening here. This kid, I say kid, he was a young man. He's a kid to me. He gave his heart to the Lord, and he was not a captive, and I'm not a slave, and I am God's man. And I will be used of the Lord even in this heathen country. And boy, I tell you what, God was, listen, he was faithful to God, so God was faithful to him. And what did God give him? Wisdom. He'll give you that. He gave him power. He gave him prosperity. And he gave him provision. And I'll tell you one other thing that God gave Daniel, and he'll give it to you. And every one of us need to pray for it. God, give me a place of influence so I can make a difference. We talked about that in a message here just a while back. But God, use me to make a difference everywhere I go. For you. To just bring a smile, love, grace, courage, and boldness into every room I walk into, work, no matter what. You may not be allowed to say a word about the Lord where you work, but your presence, His presence in you, can speak volumes. And I'll make a difference, Lord. When people are down and they're moaning and groaning and it's this and look at this, look at this new thing, and then you can be the one that lets God's light shine. There's a word, the salt and the light to this world. He gave Daniel a place of influence, and no matter what evil they tried to throw at him, God was there with that man, and He's with you. Don't give in to what other people say or do. Everybody in this room probably has been hurt by somebody else. And if you look back in your life, you've been defined in one way or another by someone. I'll tell you this little story, and I've shared it way back in the past, but it happened to me in my freshman year in high school. High school! But this was a real learning experience. And I, little bitty school, 18 in my class, okay? So we're really knocking them down. But we started algebra, and you know, algebra one, right? And for some reason or another, I just could eat that stuff up. And just straight A's. Just going at it. Now, I lived away from town. I seemed to always live away. I don't know what that, you know, I had to ride the bus in. So I wasn't a member of the little local community. A little town of about 500 people. And I lived on down the road. So we were the stick people. We lived out in the sticks. And then there was the civilized people in the town of 500. You know, they even had a barber shop. And, you know. So we had to ride the bus into town. We were the alien kids, all of us out there. We outnumbered them. There was more kids coming out in the country than there were in the little town. But anyway. But in the class, there were the girls, the daughters of prominent people in the town. You know, every town has its prominent people, and those people are kind of catered to. One owned the grocery store. Wow. Okay, anyway, but anyway. And then, and then one of them's, her dad was the principal in the high school. So, yeah. The teacher was one of these suck-up kind of people of the algebra class. And, you know, I got a test score back, and I'd made a 98 or 99 on that test on the algebra. And he's handing out these tests, and he walks over to my desk in front of me, and he said, "Mr. Novak, you're cheating." He said, it's obvious you're cheating because nobody can make these high scores in here. And so I'm going to be watching you because you're cheating in my class. I'm going to catch you. And he started writing me all the time, you're cheating. Now, I didn't know better. I didn't know the things I know now. But I began to let that man define me. And I got to where I couldn't work a single algebra problem anymore. I absolutely went blank with algebra. And I would go and sit down in that class, and all I could think about was, he thinks I'm cheating. And he's publicly embarrassing me. And what it was all about was, he wanted those girls of the prominent people to be making the highest grades. It was just that kind of cruddy little thing. I went and I didn't know what to do, and so the superintendent, it wasn't like superintendents, you know, a superintendent in a small school, you have access to them. And I told him I was having a great difficulty and my grades were dropping. And he said, well, I teach business math. Why don't you transfer over into my math class? And so that's what I did. I look back on that experience and I let that man define me. And even in that business math class, and I did real well in that, but I let him run me out of that class. And I began to take on his definition. And I began to question, am I a cheater? Well, how could I cheat? He's sitting there looking at me. It just wasn't possible. And he knew it wasn't. But I let his criticism define me. And when I went to college, I had to have a tutor to help me in algebra because my mind was so closed I couldn't solve the problems. Because of one person who defined me as a cheater in a little high school class. Look at your own life and just ask yourself, where in my life did somebody throw up a roadblock? And I let them define me. And I want to tell you something. You can't go back and repeat it, but you can let that be shattered right now. With the tutor, I was able to pass those hurdles and start working these problems. And I didn't make great grades in algebra, but I passed it well enough. And I want to say to you, it's time that you let someone's definition of you be shattered by the Lord and find out who you are in Christ. I've never forgotten that incident, obviously. Later on, and I was saved. I asked Jesus in my heart. I was saved my senior year, and that was my freshman year. And that's some of the things God began to work on is, you're my guy. You are going to be who I put you here to be. I got the board. I was saved my senior year, and that summer between that senior year and first year of college, I had the most boring job in the world. And the guy asked me to just clerk his plumbing shop. So all I did was fill out forms to order new parts. And up there where I lived, Lake Possum Kingdom, if you've ever been up there, you know, there wasn't much then. It's a big area now, but it wasn't anything, old dirt roads and stuff then. And you may have three customers a day. And so I asked him, what do you want me to be doing? He said, oh, I'll sweep out the shop and all that. He said, you got a book to read? I just want you in here. It's like, yeah. And so I went to the drugstore in that little town and bought my first Bible. And I sat there bored to death. See, God's at work. And I read that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Boredom will do that. Boredom will have you reading the Old Testament, friends. I mean, if you get bored enough, you'll even read the Old Testament. I didn't know it, but God was giving me a firm foundation. And so I read it from cover to cover that summer. And I did not know that this was going to be the calling in my life, but that's how God was forming me. And through reading all that scripture and reading it all the way through and getting that continuity and seeing the progressive revelation of God in all this, God began to transform me, you see? And I began to see that we're here to be His people, not their people. And don't let someone define you in what you wear and who you are and the way you talk. I've had many over the years, you know, going out and about and used to go preaching lots of different churches. And the first, one of the first things they'd comment on is, where did you grow up? Your accent is... And it's like, and you know, that used to bug me. Then I realized that's special. And I tell people, oh, you like my special accent? God had me raised, born and raised in a particular area where there's just a wonderful accent. And you know why he did that? Why? So you will ask me about my accent. And we'll get to have a discussion. People are dumbfounded. They don't know what to do. So let me get back to this. This whole message is about the fact that don't let someone define you. You've got to do what God says is right. And let me get to this second point. I've got to move along here. But when God gives His blessings, His honor to you, there will always be those who will resent it. And they'll come after you. Even in church work, when I was working in denominational work, we call this an all-denominational church. But before I was in a Baptist denomination, and I went to Baptist Seminary in Fort Worth and did all the stuff. Did it by the book, everything right. But one of the things there was that I noticed that if you weren't careful in some of those churches. You know, a good thing happened to you, or you share, you know, even myself, I might share up there in the platform, you know, God bless me with this or whatever. There would be people who would rebuke me. I've even had people stand, you know, you used to have to leave and when you finished preaching, you go up to the back door and shake everybody's hand. You shook hands you didn't want to shake hands with, but you had to do it anyway because that was the protocol. But then you'd have people stop and say, you need to stop bragging in the pulpit up there. Excuse me? You were bragging up there. You were talking about how God blessed you and you got this extra money or this happened in your life. That's bragging, and that has no place in God's house. And it would just, you know. So God's people, listen, I call them God's people, but you can get hurt in the church quicker than you can get anywhere else. Or at least an organized church like that. And people can say the most cruel, you know, ugly things, and it used to bother me for a time, and then you just realize, bragging, I'm trying to share with you what God's doing, and He can do it for you. You know, and you've got to realize, friends, listen, you've got to accept the fact that you're not always the one with the problem. They have the problem. Don't let their problem become your problem. Is everybody with me? You're not bored yet, are you? Okay, and I don't want you bored. If you're bored, just kind of give it a little hand and I'll get more exciting with this. Because I can hit this and jump up and down. So what we want to get to is when God blesses you, gives you honor, there will be those who will resent it and they'll come after you and accept it. You're not going to get a promotion at work. You're not going to get some advancement in life without people coming after you. They resent it and they'll talk behind your back. Just get over it. Get used to it. And they're going to do to you, or try to, in one way or another, what they did to Daniel. When God gives honor, listen, honor is the blessing of God, but honor can bring adversities. Everybody with me here? We know that, right? So be prepared for it. If you have to take a stand, it may be even against your own government. I'm telling you now, you know, God will bless you for it. He'll bless you by doing it. You have to do what's right. But there'll be people come after you. I've had people say to me, Tony, if they do this and that, I'm going to stand. And it's like, you do that, but be prepared. Just be prepared that when you do, they might just arrest you and haul you off. Are you prepared for that to happen? You can't just take a stand. You might get thrown in the lion's den with it. And so if you're going to take a stand for God, be able to take a stand, be ready in your heart and mind and prayed up like Daniel was three times a day, be prepared to take that stand all the way to the lion's den. It's one thing I can stand up here and say, they'll never close the doors of this church, and they're not going to do this and that. But what happens if they really come and try? You know, I take a stand, but what if they haul me off? Am I prepared for that? And you better be. If I tell you that I am not going to be, you know, ordered by the government to disobey, and I'm not saying that'll happen, but just using that for example, this word, and then somebody comes in that door, you have a right to expect me to back up what I said and take that stand, even if they carry me out. I must be able to do that, or I'm no leader at all. You'll bail me out. Thank you, ma'am. That is very kind of you. Thank you very much. Let me share with you something real quick. Lions' dens take many forms. Daniel did what was right, and he wasn't going to dishonor his God, and so he went up and he prayed, and it says he did it. When he learned that the decree had been issued, he didn't go shaking in fear. He just went up and kept praising God and thanking God and praying to the Lord three times a day, and he knew they were going to come for him. And he knew when he did it what the end result was going to be. They're going to throw you in lion's den. But he feared God more than he did the lions. Or maybe his love for God overcame his fear of the lions. But lions' dens take many forms, and let me share with you this, just a few insights, and we're going to ramp this up. Lions' den can take the form of your family. You can be persecuted by your family. You may have someone in your family who, when they come to see you, maybe they're kinfolks, you know, whatever, they come to see you. Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever it is. And they're the ones you can't have prayer over the meal for because they get offended. Has anybody ever been in that situation? Or with friends? And they don't want you to pray, you know. And so the whole, you have to take on this atmosphere of, well, we can't pray over the meal because they always get offended. Let me ask you something. You realize you're in the lion's den, don't even know it? You've let one person or two people put you in the lion's den. Have you ever thought of saying, we must obey God rather than man? If you come to my house, we will honor the Lord. Or you can stay home. I've had people say to me, well, Tony, I can't hurt Aunt so-and-so or Uncle this or that. And so you hurt God? I don't mean this ugly. But if God put in your heart to thank Him for Thanksgiving meal or Christmas meal or whatever it is that everybody gets together for, and one person comes in there and they're raising Cain and, oh, I don't blame it, that just offends me. Well, get offended, honey. And we're going to pray. Even if it means a lion's den, you may start roaring and snapping, but we've been roared and snapped at before. Money. You ever been in the lion's den of money? Not enough money? And the lions are snapping at you. The creditors are calling. They're going to take this away and do that. Circumstances. A husband or a wife can become a lion's den. You just don't even want to go home. I've had people say to me, I do everything I can to keep from going home. It's why? Because I don't want to hear it. And it's like, oh, we need to talk. We're going to have to do something about this. Listen, lions, dens, it could be children. Has anybody ever had a problem with a kid and it's just like being in the lion's den? Well, I hope you haven't. I've been there a time or two. Gotten bitten, too. Daniel didn't have the lions bite him. Once or twice I've been bitten. Probably my worst lion's dens for me have not been family or friends or anything like that. You know what's really been as a pastor? Churches. In the past, I've sure had to pastor some lion's dens. And I've had people telling me, you'll either do it this way or we'll just see if we can get you out of here. And it's like, I can't do this. Y'all are shaking your head. We were in a church together that very much did that. Glad that was years ago, but the memories are still there. And you will do it the way we tell you to do it on this board, or you'll find yourself without a check and all this kind of stuff. What are you going to do? Are you going to do what God says to do, or are you going to give in to those threats? And lions' dens are scary places, just the thought of them. So let me say to you, when that happens, and it will, when you stand for the Lord, and most of you have been in lion's den, didn't even know it. People may be snapping at you right now. The king gave the order, and they threw him in there, and I want to tell you what he did. He wouldn't take his eyes off of God. You know what that means? He refused. Daniel refused to look at the circumstances. He refused to look at the difficulties. He refused to look at the lions. He looked to God and only the Lord. That's what happened in the lion's den. They threw him in there. Just because you're thrown in the lion's den, it doesn't mean anything. You say, well, there's lions, they tear you to pieces. Only if you look at the lions. Because the lions get bigger and bigger. It's when you look at your God, and God is bigger than the lions. You see, the lions can't do anything to you, and you need to start realizing that right now. Your lion's den may be health. It may be a mental, emotional thing. I'm going to tell you right now, you put your eyes on Jesus Christ, the great physician, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and those lions can't get you. They'll roar. They'll try to scare you. The devil will use anything he can. And what happens to God's people is we start listening to the roaring lion. He's seeking someone to devour. We get our eyes off of God, and fear and panic comes in, and then all of a sudden, we're devoured. And Daniel never took his eyes off of God, and we can do the same thing, and it's hard, yes, but it's not impossible, and you can do it. Let me give you a great life principle here as we're wrapping this up. You cannot and will not achieve success, be blessed of God, without somebody resenting it. So just deal with it and go on. So lessons to live by. Those are our closing lessons to live by. And I know you're ready to hear that. The more you do everything right, the more others will find wrong. The more you do right, the more others will find wrong. You can do everything right and still get in a lot of trouble. That's what happened to this boy. You ever felt like that yourself? Doing everything right and I still get in trouble. Who was that used to say, why is everybody always picking on me? I don't know who that was. You remember that? You ever feel that way? Righteous people will have unrighteous enemies. The lion's den, listen, the lion's den is not the real issue. Faith in God is. Your circumstances right now, your adversaries, whatever it is in life that's driving you crazy and bugging you, whatever is worrying you to where you can't sleep at night, that's not your real problem. It's a problem, but it's not your big issue. Faith in God is. I keep referring to these things, but they're so fresh in my mind. I had to face this myself with all that happened to me. It shook my faith. And I told you I'd bring a message on that one day. But it shook my faith. I didn't lose my faith, but it shook it up. I had to realize this truth right here. Tony, you're lion's den. And boy, I was in my own health lion's den. Wasn't your issue. Your faith in God is. Because you didn't think God would let this happen to you. And He did. He let you be thrown in the lion's den when I asked Him not to let it happen. You'll hear more on this in a message. But friends, all of us have to go there. Because it's facing the lion's den that God confronts us with. You're going to look at the lions, or are you going to look at me? You're going to believe in their strength, or are you going to believe in mine? And somewhere through that, as my attention began to lift back to the Lord, things begin to heal rapidly. And stuff began to happen that they didn't think were going to happen that quick. And then all of you know the story. But it wasn't by incident. It was by the hand of the living God. And it was His miracle work and power to say, I've brought you low to bring you back high. I've taken that old messy faith of yours and I've rebuilt it. And that's what He does for every single one of us. Same as with Daniel, same with all of us. The lion's den is not the issue. Faith in God is. And listen to me. Those who attack the righteous will be exposed sooner or later. They're going to be exposed. Couple last thoughts. God may let you face the lion's den so He can expose injustice. That's what He did here. There were evil people and God wanted to deal with them, but He had to expose them. So He used Daniel in the lion's den to do just that. And lastly, and then I'm going to read the scripture and we're out of here. The lion's den is where miracles happen. It's when you're in the lion's den that you see the hand of God reach down and perform miracles. And He sent an angel and He shut the mouths of the lion and He'll send His healing power and he'll send His restoring power. He'll send His Holy Spirit and miraculous things will happen when you're down there and it's closed in and there's nothing but lions, whatever form they may take, snapping at you and God saying, it's now. It's now you're going to see how powerful I really am. And He shut the mouths of those lions. So what happened? The king came out the next day and he called down, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continued been able to rescue from the lions? Don't you know the king was expecting no answer? And from down in the pit came the voice of Daniel, O king, live forever. God sent His angels and He shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me. Because I was found innocent in His sight and in your sight, and never have I done anything wrong. And the king was overjoyed, and he brought him out, and he took all those people who set him up, and he threw them in the lion's den. And it says the lions jumped on them, broke their bones, and killed them before they even hit the bottom of the pit. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. You stand strong, you stand firm, and you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what you're going through. And I guarantee you miracles will happen in that lion's den and injustice will be exposed. God will deal with those who are messing with you. You know why? Because Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, my people, you do it to me also. There's one last portion I have to read. The king, after this, issued a decree that in every part, this is always left out of these messages. I don't know why. Because this was the intent of God to the whole thing. Not only the work of Daniel, but expose injustice and do all this. He issued a decree and he said, everybody in my kingdom must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. He's the living God. This is a heathen country. They believe in many gods. And because of what this man went through, this young guy, and because the king saw it with his own eyes, he issues a decree to his kingdom that from now on the God of Daniel will be worshipped. He's the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders. The decree from the king that put Daniel in the lion's den has now become a decree that says God will be worshipped in my kingdom because of one young man and his faith. We have found the Lord. How about that? And just think about it, whatever you're experiencing, have ever experienced, when you cut through all the chase, everything, and you get to the very bottom, it happened so people would find the Lord through what you've gone through. Don't look at me like that. You know it's true. Let's pray, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Father, You're a great and almighty God. This is a powerful, powerful happening. We all get put in lion's dens. We all have people who mess with us. We have health that messes with us. We have money that messes with us. We have jobs that mess with us. We have governments that mess with us. And yet through it all, no matter what puts us in the den, you work miracles there. And you do it so others will see that God is real, that you're real, Jesus. You really keep your word and you defend your people. You may let us go through a living hell, but you bring us up into a glorious heaven. That's what it's all about. So that others can see it and know that God is real. And we thank you for it all. Blessed be the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.